Job chapter 7, this is Job continuing his response to Eliphaz. Isn't a man forced to labor on earth? Aren't his days like the days of a hired hand? As a servant who earnestly desires the shadow, as a hireling who looks for his wages, so am I made to possess months of misery. Wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise and the night be gone? I toss and turn until the dawning of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin closes up and then it breaks out afresh. He had an awful skin disease, didn't he? And he said, when I lie down, I think, oh, when shall I be getting up? And this is very much the language that God uses in the covenant he gave Israel about how they would feel if they disobeyed. So he's suffering as if he is a sinner, even though he isn't. And, of course, that looks forward to Jesus, who suffered the death of a criminal, who was crucified on the cross, the death of a criminal, when he had done nothing wrong. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is a breath. My eye shall no more see good. The eye of him who sees me shall see me no more. Your eyes shall be on me, but I shall not be. As the cloud is consumed and vanishes away, so he who goes down to Sheol, the grave, shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. Though clearly Job didn't believe that death was anything other than unconsciousness. He didn't believe that we come back in some form as ghosts or as reincarnated something or other. He says that after death, I will not come back to my house. You will not see me any more. There is no return. And yet he does later express his clear hope in the resurrection of the body at the last day, which we know is when Jesus comes back. But until then, we're unconscious. Therefore, he says, I will not keep silent. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Am I a sea or a sea monster that you put a guard over me? When I say my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint, then you scare me with dreams and terrify me through visions, so that my soul chooses strangling death rather than to see my bones. I loathe my life. I don't want to live forever. Leave me alone, for my days are but a breath. What is man that you should magnify him, that you should set your mind on him, that you should visit him every morning and test him every moment? Now, this is Job now talking to God, but he's begun this chapter talking to Eliphaz, his friend, who doesn't understand him and has turned against him. And yet he slowly, naturally starts talking to God. And that's what happens with us, that we become disillusioned with religion, with people, with friends, etc. But it should then lead us to God. And that's what happened with Job. How long, he says, will you not look away from me, nor leave me alone until I swallow down my spittle? So he feels that God is involved in his life absolutely every moment. And that is indeed how it is. God is not far off. He's involved so passionately with us, trying by all means to work with us and to teach us. If I have sinned, what do I do to you, you watcher of men? Why have you set me as an archer's target for you, so that I am a burden to myself? Well, yeah, he does start to get bitter with God here. He's saying, well, if I've sinned, well, so what? Even if I've sinned, what's that got to do with you? Well, that's not the right attitude. And yet at the end, God says, Job spoke about me, the thing which is right. So I think that God, in his grace, does overlook weakness of a moment. And yet that doesn't mean that it's right. It doesn't mean it was right for Job to have said these things. And God is not like an archer using us for target practice. Why do you not pardon my disobedience and take away my iniquity? For now shall I lie down in the dust. You will seek me diligently, but I shall not be. So he says, well, I'm suffering. Apparently I've sinned. Well, why don't you just forgive me then? Well, yeah, he was failing to understand that actually he was not suffering because of his sins. He started off understanding that, but the friends made him feel guilty. They made him think that, well, you must have sinned. That's why you're suffering. But he goes up and down on this, and later chapters he says, no, thinking about it, I didn't do anything wrong. No. So he's taking false guilt from them, that Eliphaz has said, well, you're suffering because you sinned, and now he says to God, well, if I've sinned, well, why don't you forgive me and end my suffering? So we should feel guilty for what we do that's really wrong, but we mustn't let other people, like Eliphaz, make us feel guilty over stuff that we're not guilty of.